I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
7:30, Mike Simpson and Vicky Moore. Santa Monica College closed. There was a shooting. Walgreens is closing stores, a bunch of them. First, though, the Cajon Pass, hours and hours and hours of backup after a chase and a shooting.
Nightmare, yeah. Drivers have been stuck for hours on the 15 in the Cajon Pass after this police chase and shooting. San Bernardino Sheriff's deputies, they tried to stop a car they thought was tied to an armed robbery at this home in Hesperia. And then they led them on surface streets. There was this chase through the Ontario area. Man got on the North 15. This was late last night. They were able to stop him briefly with a pit maneuver, but then he took off. Desmond Shaw was overhead for KCAL 9.
This guy's got to be careful. He's really putting his life in his own hands right now. Reversing on the freeway, it looked like he was going to drive into that deputy's vehicle right now. Pitted him twice, and the chase is back on. I can't believe this. Let's see if they're going to pit him a third time. Indeed, they are. They're trying to spin him around here. Wow, they are not playing. They want this over. Let's see if they're just going to box them in right now. It's like bumper cars on the northbound 15 of the Cajon Pass right now.
So the guy was shot and taken to the hospital. Not sure on his condition. And yeah, it is a traffic jam out there still this morning. And Susie, earlier you were telling people, here's this alternate to take. Take
no
this.
No good anymore.
I was so proud because a tipster said, this is the way to do it and everything. And so anyhow, another tipster called Samantha from high school. And she said, don't take the 18. That's what I was telling people to sort of, I was telling everyone except for truck drivers, because it is a windy mountain road to get through Crestline, and then you sort of take the back way up to Hesperia. Now there's a jackknife big rig in Crestline on the 138. This is between Lake and Fern, and you can't get through. You get to Crestline and you can't get through. So basically, Vicky, you were saying, what's your option? I said, stay home. But that northbound side of the 15, stay home, honestly. But you know what? All surface streets in the area, people are saying, don't even try the surface street, Cajon Boulevard. It's just a mess. It's just a mess. And it's going to take you. There was someone that I spoke to at 4 a.m. and it took him at 4 a.m. over 3 hours. Now the backup is even worse.
It's brutal.
I'm thinking maybe 4 hours to get through there.
Hmm. All right, Susie, traffic coming back in just a couple of minutes here. Now they're looking to try and find whoever shot someone at Santa Monica College last night. An employee seriously wounded her just before 10 p.m. one of those satellite campuses. John Baird has more live. John?
I've seen a couple of Santa Monica police cars drive by just in the past hour or so. The shooting happened less than 12 hours ago, around 9:50 last night, here at the Santa Monica Center for Media and Design. It's one of the 7 campuses in the Santa Monica College system. It's an area of modern buildings, and around the corner here looks like a pretty new apartment building, so it's a nice area. School officials have only said that an employee was shot and that police are looking for the suspect and that they've closed all 7 of the college campuses for the day. Now, people who work in this area describe it, they say this is called Silicon Beach. They say that shootings just don't happen here.
Everything is safe, yeah.
And it seems like a really safe area. Do you work around here, live around here?
I'm working here, and everything is safe, yeah.
Safe area?
Yeah, safe area.
Are you shocked?
Yes, I am. I am.
I've talked to several people this morning who were just like her, really kind of like, wow, this really happened here. All we know at this point is it was a female employee who was shot and seriously wounded. My understanding is that she may have been a custodian. We're still trying to confirm that. But again, the campuses, all of the Santa Monica College campuses, have been closed for the day.
Handful of girls got sick after taking gummies at a school in Northridge. This is a middle school up there. Trying to figure out how they got them. Here's Pete Demetrio.
The first 911 call from Nobel Charter Middle School came just after 2 in the afternoon. The initial report, 2 13-year-old girls were ill in the health office. But by the time paramedics and police arrived, the number had jumped to 5. 2 were released to parents. 3 others wound up being assisted in walking to ambulances that took them to Northridge Hospital and Holy Cross Medical Center. It's not clear at present if the overdose was THC or CBD related, but it's believed the drugs came in the form of edibles or gummies. Detectives are now examining the relationships that the girls had with each other in an effort to find out who provided the drugs in the first place and where they came from. In Northridge, I'm Pete Demetrio, KNX News 97.1 FM.
20 minutes of nonstop news presented by theloanexchange.com for all your home loan needs. So, yeah, just a few weeks to go till Election Day, and the campaign spending a lot of time, a lot of energy on Pennsylvania. They were both there yesterday, Harris and Trump, and the Trump rally. It was really hot in there. There were medical emergencies. Then he was like, let's go to the playlist. Let's start playing songs. We talked with Pennsylvania Capital Star reporter John Cole because he was there.
So you had people fainting, and then there was a sing-along. You were there. Tell us, you know, what happened. What was your experience?
Yeah, so in an unusual election cycle, in which, let's not forget, months ago, former President Trump was in Philadelphia unveiling a line of sneakers. So again, I've been at some a good amount of events, some unusual. This was certainly up there in terms of unpredictable. So the event was supposed to be built. It was built as a town hall in the Philadelphia suburbs to set the scene. The Philadelphia area, again, very densely populated. Even though Trump's made many visits to the state of Pennsylvania in 2024, it was his first public campaign event in the Philadelphia suburbs. Even though there's a lot of Democrats that need to cut into that margin there if Trump was going to win the state. The event was supposed to begin at 6 p.m. Didn't start till nearly an hour later. I'd say the event kicked off around like 6:50-ish. Again, it was supposed to be a town hall where those in attendance were supposed to ask questions to former President Trump. Only a total of five questions were asked, though. There were two medical emergencies, two people passing out and fainting. And then after the second person fainted, which was shortly after the first person did, they went to playing music. And after that temporary pause, I guess Trump said he decided, you know what, instead of questions, he kind of discussed a bit about how important the state of Pennsylvania was and continued to play music from his playlist. And the interesting thing is, to those who have covered Trump rallies, you know, there are certain staple songs like the YMCA, et cetera. Yesterday was a bit different, where usually people know when it's time to say goodbye, so to speak. The final question was asked by a person in attendance at 7:34. Trump played music from about 7:55 to, like, he didn't step off stage till 8:31, just kind of swaying along with Governor Kristi Noem, who was facilitating the conversation on stage. Many supporters did say throughout the music portion, because I think people were wondering, is it formally over?
Yeah, so what's going on here? He's on stage for like half an hour, kind of swaying back and forth to the songs. And you're going, like you said, with the sneaker thing. None of this was on my bingo card before. Real quick, because you mentioned the suburbs. Kamala Harris, her team has been out saying, I think we're winning the suburbs. New polling shows her way up. Who is she trying to get out there? Are these like formerly Nikki Haley voters that she thinks she has now?
Yeah, that's certainly the case. Where if you look at the election primary results in the state of Pennsylvania, Nikki Haley had dropped out at the primary a month before Pennsylvania's primary election. Even though she dropped out at that point, she still registered double digits in all Philadelphia's collar counties, which are the suburbs of Philadelphia. Again, densely populated region of the state where I think, even though some of them are registered Republican, still to this day, they are not exactly Trump Republicans. So I think they're certainly the Republicans that the Harris campaign is attempting to reach in that region of the state.
Pennsylvania Capital Star reporter John Cole.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Walgreens closing a lot of stores. We've got backlash to some of those DEI initiatives. And how do you feel about the economy? All that is 20 minutes of nonstop news continues. Let's talk about Walgreens, latest chain to announce its closing stores across the U.S. It's 1,200 locations over the next 3 years, 500 this fiscal year. Company's been struggling with reimbursements for the prescriptions it sells, other challenges, rising costs to operate the stores. Comes after the CVS chain announced earlier this year it's closing 300 across the country.
Film Lexington has just launched, and its goal is to lure movie and TV production to Kentucky. Lexington, Kentucky. Refundable state tax credits of up to 35% available to productions up to $10 million. Film Lex, led by a Hollywood marketing exec who told Deadline, you can shoot anything here as long as it has a big city vibe and small quaint towns frozen in time. Kentucky's governor, who is on the Democratic presidential candidate, Kamala Harris's VP shortlist, said the creation of Film Lex proves that entertainment production will be a big part of their growing economy.
Every Hallmark movie ever, right? Little town frozen in time. YouTube doing changes. It's owned by Google, announcing some new features. AI thumbnails, a sleep timer, extra playback control. Users can use AI to create some custom thumbnails for playlists. Sleep timer will let you set that timer to pause after a certain time, right? You fall asleep. And a new playback control allow for more of a customizable experience when it comes to videos at different speeds. All the changes rolled out in the next few weeks.
The Pentagon says it has, for the past year, been proactively going over records of troops forced out of the military because of their sexual orientation under the now-repealed Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy, even if those former troops hadn't requested such a review.
In a statement, Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin said in almost 97% of the 851 cases that officials have reviewed, discharges were upgraded or the reasons for separation from the military were changed. He says that means of the nearly 13,500 troops who were forced out of uniform under the law, about 96% now have an honorable discharge. Christopher Cruz, CBS News, Washington.
Group of Democrats in Congress appealing to the largest companies. Hold on to your diversity, equity, inclusion programs. 49 House members sharing their views in a letter email today to the Fortune 1000. Move follows as several major corporations, a Ford, John Deere, Harley-Davidson saying in recent months they're going to end their DEI initiatives or curtail them. The program's typically intended as a counterweight to discriminatory practices, but critics argue the policies which single out participants based on race or gender or sexual orientation, those are unfair and the same opportunities should be offered to everybody.
Americans' views on the economy said to be divided as we approach the presidential election, even as they agree that inflation is a top pocketbook issue. Bankrate.com senior analyst Mark Hamrick has the numbers and attitudes from the website survey.
Among American adults, inflation is the top economic issue. We asked what among these variety of pocketbook or economy-related issues moves to the top of the list, and overall, as well as for Democrats and Republicans in particular, inflation is number one.
Still trying to recover. It's going to take months, years in Florida after Milton. CBS's Tom Hansen in Manasota Key, one of the small Gulf communities who really felt the eye of the storm.
5 days after Milton's landfall, Manasota Key sits practically empty. Homeowner Gary McBride.
So this was a nice big room. It had two walls right across here. The sand blew out four sliders and one window over there.
And we're standing probably, what, on 2.5 or 3 feet of sand?
I would say that's accurate, yes.
Milton being blamed for 23 deaths in the state. Power companies had restored electricity to about 93% of the 3.4 million homes and businesses that lost it.
The snow industry in California, skiing, snowboarding, is facing challenges. Increased traffic, global warming, unpredictable snowfall, and higher pay for the workers of these resorts. One casualty, they say, is Homewood Mountain Resort, a small independent resort in Tahoe's West Shore, which has announced that it's not going to be opening this season. We get more from reporter Raquel Maria Dillon.
Homewood Mountain Resort is famous for its views of the lake and for a leaked proposal to develop the mountain into a private members-only resort. The community has been asking local planners and environmental regulators to spell out how members of the public will still be able to ski Homewood once it's redeveloped. The resort says its financial partner that covered operational costs pulled out because of permitting issues. Candace Wilmoth with Keep Homewood Public says this is just a scare tactic.
If they don't do all the things that were agreed to in the 2011 master plan, why do we have regulators? Why do we have permitting? Why do we have any of these processes that are meant to ensure that the right things get done down the road? They could just bust through all of that and build whatever they want.
I'm Raquel Maria Dillon, KNX News 97.1 FM.
20 minutes of nonstop news. As we last left our intrepid travel expert on last week's episode, Peter Greenberg, we were talking about people getting thrown off planes for crop tops, and they wanted to see the dress code. So Peter did some digging, and of all these airlines, you know what? He found one. He found a dress code. KNX travel editor Peter Greenberg live with us now.
Lay it on us, Peter. Who has it, and what is it?
Well, first of all, there's only one U.S. airline that actually has a dress code. Everybody else contains very interesting but vague language in their contract of carriage, which just says you cannot wear inappropriate, offensive, lewd, or intimidating clothing, whatever that means. And the only airline that actually has a specific dress code, it's Hawaiian. And you know what they specify? You can wear everything, but you can't wear a bikini and you can't wear a Speedo.
No swimsuits.
That's their dress code.
And I say thank you to that.
Right.
Middle seat
and
next to somebody.
All the airlines do have just one rule that they will not violate, and that is you can't be barefoot. Yeah. But other than that, the real problem is it's left to the discretion of the counteragent or the gate agent or the flight crew. And once they make that determination and they say you're inappropriate, whether you think you are or not, if you can't change and cover up, you're off the plane.
Yeah. So, I mean, if they say to somebody, you got to put a sweater over yourself, you have to do it. Pretty much,
but here's
they're the law up there.
But here's the problem. Most people don't have it to change into in their carry-on bag. They've already checked it. So the best thing to do, look, you and I go back probably, at least I go back long enough to remember when my parents wouldn't let me fly unless I was dressed up. And so today, you know what? It's watch your cleavage, excuse the butt crack, and make sure you're wearing shoes, and you might actually stay on the plane.
Wow.
It's not a bad way
to
say it. Hey, excuse your butt crack over there, would you?
Oh, my gosh. Hey, I saw something about, the election is coming up, obviously, and, some people are getting kind of stressed out about it, and they're actually looking to book trips to unplug during the election, maybe a cabin in the woods type of thing. Any suggestions? Have you heard of that?
Not only have I heard about it, there are actually some resorts that are offering election detox routines because people are getting stressed out. You'll find this in a number of the Caribbean islands, and you'll find this in Canada and in some of the other resorts in Hawaii where they're saying, do you really want to get away? And so we're seeing an uptick in travel starting when? The weekend starting November 1 and extending through the 10th. Normally, that's not a very heavily traveled period, but people just don't want to be around for the election. So there's a lot to be said for early voting.
There's a piece in the Washington Post about unplugging, saying travel can actually make you age slower. So, Peter, question to you is, are you like Benjamin Buttoning? Are you 24 again? Because you're always on the move.
No, I'm 8.
Even lower.
Hey, I wanted to ask you very quickly. There's this fight behind the scenes going on for a while for control of Southwest, and an activist making a play for more control. He's called for a special meeting, kind of a new step. Is all of that behind the scenes stuff going to impact passengers at all?
It already has. That's why Southwest is getting rid of open seating. That's why they're putting premium seats at the front of the plane, which means you're going to pay more for it. The one thing that the Southwest management has said they're not going to touch, it's sort of like the third rail, is they're, not charging you to check two bags. But my guess is if this investor group has their way by next year, that's probably going to go away as well. And they'll probably structure it that if you paid for a premium seat, you get two free bags. Other than that, everybody's going to have to pay. They haven't done it yet. They keep insisting they're not going to do it. But the accountants are running the asylum right now, and that may happen.
KNX travel editor Peter Greenberg out there getting younger every day. Apple shares hovering near an all-time high. Here's Steve Potus.
Yeah, hitting a record earlier this morning, hanging near that level. The stock surging after the iPhone maker unveiled a new iPad mini it hopes will attract consumers to its early generative AI offerings. The tablet has Apple's A17 Pro chip to power Apple Intelligence, which is due for release later this month. Now, the new iPad mini costs $499, the Wi-Fi model, and the $649 for the version that has a cell connection. It goes on sale October 23rd. Dell will soon begin shipping devices featuring NVIDIA's Blackwell AI accelerators. A Dell executive says that AI-oriented servers containing the chips will be sent to select customers next month and be available everywhere else the beginning of 2025. Now, earlier this year, the initiative was delayed by engineering snags. Chip makers, though, sliding onward. The government may cap overseas sales of AI chips, and the Dow is down 181 points. NASDAQ now down 140. S&P giving back 19 points. I'm Bloomberg Steve Potus from the Barrister Office Suites Money Desk on KNX News 97.1 FM.
20 minutes of nonstop news presented by theloanexchange.com for all your home loan needs.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.